Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining me for our Wednesday night Bible study. Thank God Jesus is Lord, and He's still on the throne, and He's still ruling and reigning in the lives of those that are walking by faith. And I trust that's you. I trust you're still walking by faith, living by faith, and standing by faith. We've been talking about don't quit on these Wednesday nights. And we're going to bring it to conclusion tonight, talking about don't quit and about how we don't want to give up on our faith. We don't want to give up on our faith projects, the things we're believing God for. And so we're going to continue talking about that tonight. Specifically tonight, what I want to talk about is this, about how Satan is after your faith. You know, the good thing about Jesus is, you know, He didn't teach His disciples off in some sterile seminary somewhere. He taught them in real life. And so, you know, I mean, they were in the midst of conflict. They were in the midst of testings and trials. And He taught them how to use their faith right in the midst of all that was going on in life. And I'm glad that He did it that way. And He, you know, He's still, through His Word, teaching His disciples today how to live and walk by faith. And so we're going to talk about He's after your faith. He's after your faith. Now, I want you to go with me. Let's go to, in our Bibles, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read one verse there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, 2 Peter 1, 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. Peter said, we have the exact same faith as the apostles. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, some people think that the apostles were super extraordinary people, that we could never be like them. Well, you know, in their calling, they were the apostles of the Lamb. They'll never be any like that. And certainly they were greatly used of God, but they were just human people like we are. And the good thing about it is the same faith that Peter had, we got the same faith today. Ooh, that ought to stir you up a little bit. That you have the same faith as the Apostle Peter does, or did. And so he said, but I want to talk about this tonight. He called our faith precious. Now, you know, precious, man, is something that's dear. And there are certain things. I made a list of some of the things that the Word of God calls precious. Listen to this. The Bible says these things are precious. It says Jesus is precious. He's the precious cornerstone. It says the blood of Jesus is precious. It says our redemption is precious. It says the promises are precious. It says the word of the Lord is precious. The Bible teaches that the anointing is precious. It also teaches us that the wisdom of God is precious. But we need to know our faith, our believing God, is precious to God. It's a precious thing. Think about it. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, you know, you can't even please God without faith. So our faith is precious. And I want you to know, if your faith is precious and my faith is precious, the devil's after it. And he's out to attack our faith. And when we face difficulties, when we face trials, well, that's what he's after, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. I want you to know the devil wants to change that. He wants to change it to where we walk by sight and not by faith. Because he knows if we continue to walk by faith and not by sight, his dominion, his days of ruling, and our life are over. He knows we're going to be victorious. He knows that the Word of God says that the shield of faith quenches all his fiery darts. Wow, think about that. Every fiery dart, the shield of faith quenches it. So no wonder the devil's after our faith. I like this. 1 John 5:4 says this. it says this to us. It says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But I want to read that to you out of the Message translation. It says this in the Message. It says, the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Wow, I like that. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. What I want to talk about tonight is simply this. When the devil attacks our faith, when he attacks, what we're believing God for, when he puts pressure on us, when he tries to hinder those things from coming to pass that we're believing for, the thing that he's after is he's after our faith. You need to understand this. He's not after your stuff. People think, well, you know, the devil's after my stuff. Well, not really. He's after your faith and your confidence in God. If he can get that by taking a little bit of your stuff or touching your stuff, well, then he's accomplished his purpose. But he's not after your Cadillac. He's not going to drive your Cadillac. He's not going to wash with your wash machine. He's not going to do all that. But if it can harass you, if some trouble can cause you to give up on your faith, well, then he's accomplished his purpose. I heard Charles Capps say one time, Brother Capps taught a lot on faith, a lot on confession for many, many years. And I was out farming. He was a farmer before he entered full-time ministry. And there's a time he was farming and doing ministry, both. He said, I was out farming one day and the air conditioning went out in my tractor. He said, I got in my truck and the air conditioning went out in his truck. Well, he was going to fly. He had his own little airplane and airstrip there where he lived, and he would fly himself to meetings. He was his own pilot. And he said, the air conditioning when it was out in the plane. And he said, when you got to the airport, a lot of these smaller airports will have vehicles, loaner vehicles, that once you land there, you can borrow that vehicle and go places. And said, so the airport vehicle, the air conditioning was out. He said, when I got to church to preach, their air conditioning was out. Well, he said, I began to get a clue. The devil was tormenting me. Now, of course, we can live without air conditioning. I don't know if you know that or not, but we used to. I mean, from my recollection, air conditioning didn't really become a thing in our neck of the woods until the 60s. And then it wasn't anything but a window unit. Here's the thing. The devil's not interested whether you got air conditioning or not. He's not interested whether, your stuff breaks down or not. He's not interested in all that stuff except for this purpose, and that is if he can get you to give up your faith, if he can get you to give up your confidence in God, then he has accomplished his purpose. Look with me, Luke chapter 22, and I want to show you this scripture there in Luke 22, and a couple verses there. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and this is about the Apostle Peter. And Luke 22, it says this, and it said, and the Lord Jesus said this to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, one translation, I think, says Satan's asked for you, or he's demanded to have you. Satan wants to have you that he may sift you, Peter. He wants to sift you. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus did. Verse 32, it says, Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Now notice what he prayed. This is important. That your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Well, I believe Jesus knew what to pray about. I mean, if the problem here, the thing that Satan was after was to sift Peter, was to sift his faith. Jesus knew that. And that's why he prayed for Peter that his faith fail not. How many believe Jesus, he probably knew what to pray about? Of course he did. He knew what the issue was. He knew what Satan was after. He could have prayed, Peter, I pray you don't get discouraged. I pray you don't get depressed. I pray you don't this or that. But Jesus was specific. He said, Peter, I prayed for you, and I pray that your faith doesn't fail. Now, that tells me the thing that the devil was after was Peter's faith. Now, you read the book of Job. A lot of teaching on Job, some good, some bad. But, the gist of Job is this, is that the devil, the Bible says, that he appeared before God and God said, what you've been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro on the earth. and walking up and down in it. Well, the New Testament gives us a revelation of why he was doing that. Peter said, "For your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So he was looking for somebody to devour. And God said, "Have you set your heart? Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him." And listen to what the devil said. The devil said, "Well, if you do this," telling God, "if you do this, Job will curse you to your face." Think about it. What was the devil after? Well, he was after Job's faith. See, I learned this about the devil. This really put a fire in me when I discovered this. I learned this about the devil. The reason the devil attacks our faith is because it's his left-handed backdoor way of trying to get to God. He knows he can't get to God. He knows that. So the next thing he does is try to get to God's children. If he could have got Job to curse God, he knew that would have hurt God. That's his backdoor way to try to get to God. Obviously, he can't get to God, but what he tries to do is get us, his children, to give up our faith, give up our confidence, draw back our faith, and thereby hurt our Father. Because, once again, we quoted the scripture a while ago, Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God's not pleased. It doesn't say he doesn't love you, but he's not pleased when we draw back on our faith. He gets no pleasure in that. Well, you could understand that. I mean, you want, as a parent, you want your kids to have confidence in you. Well, God wants his children to have confidence in him. And that's one of the reasons why the devil will attack our faith. When we're believing for something, he'll attack our faith, is to try to get us to give up. See, Jesus said it like this in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower sows the word. He said this about Satan. He said that that tribulation and persecution comes for the word's sake. Well, without the word, we don't have any faith, because we all know how faith comes. It comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if the devil can get us to give up on God's word, he gets our faith. He gets our faith, he gets our confidence, our trust in God. And when he does that, he gets at God. So I realize, you know, when the devil attacks me, he's not really after me. The devil's, he's dirty, he's nasty, he's filthy. Everything you want to say about him, he is that. That everything bad you can think about saying, that's what he is. But really, his main issue is with God. It's not with us, it's with God. And he's got it, you know, he's got something against God. He got a third of the angels to rebel against God. So his issue isn't really with us, it's with God. But the only way he can get to God is to get to us. So we have to make sure we understand what he's after. He's after our faith, and don't let him get your faith. Amen. And so Jesus prayed for Peter. He said that your faith fail not. Now, go over to Acts chapter 14 real quickly here, and I want to show you some things. Acts chapter 14, let's go there. Acts the 14th chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 14. I'll give you a little time to find it while you're looking for it. Just know this, that if you don't give up on your faith, the devil can't beat you. There's just no way. Faith is a victory. I really like, you know, I'm not a big message guy. You know, the message is not really a translation. It's a paraphrase in some guy telling you his opinion and what the word says there. You know, a translation means you take the word that's in the Greek or the Hebrew and you translate it to an equivalent word in the English, okay? And so that's a translation. But a paraphrase means a guy reads the Bible and then he gives you his thoughts about it. So the message, you know, is not really a translation. It's just some guy giving you his thoughts on it. But I think his thoughts on John 5:4 are really good. When he says the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Our faith will bring the devil, it'll bring the world to its knees. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so if we just don't give up on our faith will see us through to victory. We already have the faith of God living on the inside of us. Years ago, I think it was in the 1990s, I preached a series and I entitled it, Going Through the Storm Without the Storm Going Through You. It was a great title. I don't know that the message was as good as the title. Actually, it was a two-part, two-message series that I had. But this title was really good, and I got it out of Jesus when he was in that boat, you know, and the storm came up, and the disciples woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" Man, how many remember that? Mark chapter 4 it was. And Jesus got up, he rebuked the storm, you know, and said to the wind and the sea to be still, and it was a great calm, the Bible says. But here's the thing, Jesus and the disciples were both in a storm. They were both going through the storm, but the storm got inside of the disciples. They said, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" Other words, the storm had gotten inside of them, but the storm wasn't in Jesus. He was in a storm, but the storm wasn't in him. And I learned something by that, that you can go through storms. We're all going to go through storms, but the storm doesn't have to get inside of us. Now, in the natural, I like storms. Occasionally, I like a good thunderstorm, you know, lightning and so forth. But you know what? I like to watch it from the inside. I don't want to be out in it. I don't want to be out there. Well, it's kind of the same thing, you know. You can have storms in life. Well, not you can have, you will have storms in life, but you don't have to have those storms going through the inside of you, through the midst of you. Just like Jesus. He was asleep. Hallelujah. So that storm wasn't in him, but it sure got in his disciples. Now, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas here are preaching, and in Acts chapter 14 and verse 21, it says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming or strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them," listen to what they exhort them to do, "to continue in the faith." Hang on to your faith. "And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Now, that is not a scripture you have on your refrigerator. You know, we put scriptures in our house and on our refrigerator. "If you know, I'm more than a conqueror, I can do all things through Christ. You know, my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. By his stripes I am healed." You know, we put scriptures like that. You know, "He always causes me to triumph. God always gives me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." But we don't put scriptures like this. "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." But it is a scripture. And I don't blame you. Wouldn't put it on my refrigerator either. But listen, this is what the Bible says. Now, you have to explain that, because if you don't, then people get a defeated mentality, like, "Oh, life's just full of trouble and trials and tests, and it's that way all the time." Well, listen, I've been serving God now for over 38 years, and so I've got a little bit of experience, not as much as some, but more than others. I got a little bit of experience to tell you that is not the way the Christian life is. The Christian life is victory to victory, faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength. When you live it right, that is the way it is. But at the same time, if you're going to use your faith to believe God for the promises, if you're going to use your faith to receive your inheritance and your covenant, the devil is going to test your faith. And that's what this is talking about. So the more you want to receive, the more testing you're going to get. But the thing of it is, once you learn how to do this, the testing, it's kind of like, you know, like we say, like water rolling off a duck's back. It just rolls off of you. It's not a big deal. Once you learn how to get victory, you got experience, you're seasoned. It's not an issue. You get more seasoned at things. The more seasoned you get, the more like, I know how to handle this. I know what to do. It'll all be okay. And so that's one thing that comes along with this, and that's what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 is talking about how we get seasoning, we get experience, and experience creates hope, because you realize, hey, we won last time, we'll win this time. So what this verse is saying here is, when it says, "We through much tribulation must enter into the kingdom of God," and he exhorted them, continuing the faith, what it's telling us is this, that if we're going to walk in the fullness of the kingdom, what the kingdom has for us, the devil is going to try our faith. Now remember, the scripture tells us in James, it says, "The trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work." In other words, what does that mean? Let patience have her perfect work. Well, it means just to keep your faith out there. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Wow, that's where we want to head to, that place of lacking nothing. And that's what God has for us. But we have to leave our faith out there. Now, I was reading that scripture one day. You know, that's out of James chapter 1. And it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. It hit me, the trying of your faith. I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before, but all of a sudden it hit me. Wait a minute. If it says trying of your faith, I must have faith. Wow, isn't that deep? I know that's not real deep, but it was deep for me at the time. I didn't realize that. I hadn't thought of it in that light. You know, I hadn't thought of it in the light of, look, if the devil's trying my faith, if he's putting roadblocks, obstacles in my way to keep me from obtaining the promise, if he's trying my faith, then that must mean I have faith, and it must mean he realizes if he doesn't stop me, I'm going to win. Hallelujah. Say amen. So if that's why the devil puts that trial up, that, you know, that means, you know, the trying your faith means your faith's here and there's something here, and it's this is trying to get your faith from getting to the other side. What James said is just keep letting your faith hit the test, hit the trial until it knocks it out of the way and gets on the other side, and you'll be perfect and you won't lack a thing. You'll have exactly what you've been believing for. But once again, remember our series is don't quit. You can't quit. You got to just stick with it and stay with it. So don't let this verse be a negative to you. You know, you can read this verse, and I know, years ago, a lot of people were really big into talking about troubles and trials, and we would even sing, you know, I didn't, but people would. And I have been in services where, you know, they sang songs about our troubles, about our trials. Listen, we're not to sing about our troubles and our trials. We're to sing about our victories, and we're to sing about our God and His goodness and His greatness. We don't sit around and talk about our troubles and trials. Why? Because they're not the main thing in our life. Amen. I know sometimes they try to consume your life, but don't let troubles and trials consume your life. Let God and His Word consume your life. That should be the main thing to you. What God said about it. What God said about it. You need to learn to praise Word. I mean, you know, the Bible says, God said, put me in remembrance. Well, how do you remind somebody? Well, you remind somebody by telling them what they said. If you said, you know, Pastor, you know, hey, I'm gonna take you and Miss Phyllis out, buy you the biggest steak in town, wherever you want to go. Well, you know what? 3 weeks go by, 4 weeks go by, 5 weeks go by. You know, I might remind you. I might remind you what you said. Probably not. I try to be nice, but, you know, I might remind you, you know, because you promised me the biggest steak in town. But what am I doing? I'm just telling you what you said. That's what God said when He said, put me in remembrance. Tell me what I said. Pray according to His Word. Now, you know, here's a revelation. What He has to say is far more important than what you or I have to say. So whatever He said in His Word, that's the best thing to pray right there. Amen. So don't let this verse be one of those verses where it says, you know, well, through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. Don't let it be one of these verses with you where you run with it and you say, look at that, you know, it's just trials and troubles and tribulations, and that's all we have in this life. That's what we can expect. No, that's not what He's talking about. He's just talking about if you're going to get into the fullness of this kingdom, the devil's going to contest it. He's after your faith. He's trying to stop you. But James gives us the answer very plain in James 2, or James chapter 1, what we quoted. Let patience or endurance have its perfect work. Just keep believing. Just keep confessing the Word. Just keep using your faith. Your faith will blow through that trial, get you on the other side, and you'll be perfect, and you won't lack a thing. Wow, that is good stuff. Listen, our own pastor, preachers here, Pastor Jerry Hagman, our own Pastor Jerry Hagman, comes to church here, that those of you that come here know him. He was preaching one night, and he said something that, you know, I wrote it down. I've still got it in my Bible. It was really powerful.
And this isn't the only powerful thing he said, but this was powerful. He said a lot of powerful things. Him and Pastor Chuck both said some really powerful things. You know, Pastor Chuck was teaching one night talking about faith has to have, you know, some friends. You know, and yeah, it has to have endurance and different things. I wrote all those things down. Still got them in my Bible, the friends that faith has to have. Pastor Jerry said this. He said this, start in faith, stay in faith, end in faith. I like that. Start in faith, start out in faith, but having no starting out is not enough. You got to stay in faith, and then you got to end in faith. When you do that, you're going to come out with the promise of God. So my encouragement to you through this series, I hope you got something out of it, is just don't quit. If you don't quit, listen, you're going to win. I remember several years ago, I'll close with this story. Several years ago, I was going through a really trying time in the ministry. I was young in the ministry. I mean, I'd only been in the ministry, let's see, about 3 years. So I was young in the ministry, and I was young in the Lord. I'd only been in the Lord just about the same time, because I started preaching 4 months after I got born again. So started my ministry really early. Probably wasn't the wisest thing, but doors opened and I went through them. And so, you know, I didn't know much. I knew what Brother Copeland knew and Brother Hagin. And that was pretty good stuff, by the way. But anyway, I was really going through a really testing time, you know, and I really was really down, and things were getting to me, and one of the guys from church, he came over to my house to cheer me up, and I just wasn't in any mood to be cheered up, and so I ran him off, you know, and I'm usually pretty easygoing, you know, and a nice person, but I don't know, that's just the spot I was in, so I ran him off. He told him to get out of there, basically, and so I remember after he left, I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I did not see him, but I sensed him come into my room. It was just the presence of God just overwhelmed me and overwhelmed the place. And I'm sitting on the bed, and I sensed Jesus come into the room. And I didn't, once again, I didn't see him. I didn't hear anything audible. But anybody's had any close relationships with the Lord, we know sometimes when he shows up. We just know. And so I knew he'd showed up. I knew Jesus had shown up. And so I heard this just as plain as somebody was saying it to me, sitting right beside me. I heard this, "Son, I will cry with you all the way down and not be able to help you if you don't use your faith." I mean, that shook me. That changed me. That actually helped get me out of that trial. It helped me come out of that because I suddenly realized what Jesus was saying. I feel sorry for you is what he was telling me. I have compassion on you, but I can't do a thing for you if you don't use your faith. I realized what he was telling me right then. It really rocked my world because I realized what he was saying. If I continued on the path I was going down. I was going to have to turn around, get this quit out of my system, and use my faith again. And I did that, and I came through it, and I got victory. Hallelujah. But I realized what the Lord was saying. He can't do anything for us apart from faith. People don't get saved apart from faith. They don't receive from God apart from faith. Jesus often said, it's your faith that did it. So I hope you got something out of this series. As we've talked about, don't quit. Just stick with it. Stick with your faith.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.